We're going to Matthew. Somebody yelled out Matthew, so let's go to Matthew. And what chapter should I go to?
22.
And I will start at verse what? 34? Okay. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. I'm going to go ahead and read that here this morning. I hear pages turning. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Some very familiar scripture. We have used this before, and we will use it again here this morning. Starting with verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Let's go to God with a word of prayer. Father, what do you want us to learn this morning about love? Loving God, loving our neighbor. We've heard it time and time again, Lord. And this morning, I'm just asking, Lord, that you do fill us with what we need to be more like Jesus, and that means to be more in love with you, to be more in love with our neighbors. We trust that you'll continue to do a work in each and every one of us. And this we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today is week number 34 in our sermon series on the Ten Commandments. We began this study back on January the 29th, in case you might be wondering. We took breaks every now and again for different things. But today, ready? We're going to conclude this study of the Ten Commandments. This will be it, week number 34. By reviewing what we have covered, just a general review. And next week, we're going to move on to something else. And I don't know what that something else is, but I do encourage you, if you have a sermon topic that you would like me to cover or something, please let me know about that. I'll see if I can keep it less than 34 weeks. But please bring that to me, and I'd be happy to try to fit that in somehow. Once upon a time, there were two men. One was a retired man, and the other was a young preacher. Every Monday morning at 10 o'clock, they would meet in the park and ride their bicycles together. As they rode their bicycles, the young preacher would always ask the retired man points of wisdom and experience and how to get through his younger days in life. The retired man was always obliged to answer. On the other hand, the retired man would always ask the preacher, "What did you preach about yesterday?" Which gave the preacher a chance to explain a sermon, and the retired man would learn from that. Every Monday at 10 o'clock they would meet on their bicycles. One Monday, the retired man is there on his bicycle waiting for the preacher to show up, and he's late. He finally shows up a few minutes later, and he's walking. The retired man asks him, "Preacher, what happened to your bicycle?" The preacher says, "I really don't know." The retired man said, "Do you suppose somebody stole it?" The preacher says, "That could have happened." Well, the wise retired man said, "I'll tell you what you do next Sunday, preacher. When you go into your church, preach on the Ten Commandments. Go through each commandment. And if somebody from your church was the one that stole the bicycle, when you get to the commandment about stealing, they will feel convicted and return your bicycle to you. Preacher said, that is a great idea. The next Monday, the retired man's there in the park, and here comes the preacher man on his bicycle. The retired man says, preacher, it looks like you did exactly what I told you to do. You preached on the Ten Commandments. You got to the commandment about stealing. Somebody felt convicted and brought your bicycle back to you. The preacher said, well, not exactly. He said, I did preach on the Ten Commandments. But when I got to the commandment about adultery, I remembered where I left my bike. The Ten Commandments have many purposes, but one of those purposes is to bring conviction to the Christian, because we are either doing or saying or thinking something that is contrary to the Word of God. And in the little story that I just told, the preacher was convicted. And don't think that I haven't been convicted throughout these 34 weeks of some of the things that I have said here. And I would certainly hope that as we progress through our study of these Ten Commandments, that we have all been convicted in some area of our Christian walk that we could improve on, whatever that might be. Things we need to just let go in exchange for things that need to begin within us. Another purpose of the Ten Commandments we talked about, according to Galatians 3:24, is to bring the unbeliever to the point where he or she realizes that in their human efforts to please God, they cannot possibly keep all these commandments. And hopefully their failure to do so will lead them to faith in Christ, according to Galatians 3:24. Faith in Christ, who is the only one who can truly forgive that person and relieve them of their burden of trying to achieve what human effort and human merit could never achieve. So this morning, we're just going to quickly go through these Ten Commandments as a refresher for what is expected of us as Christians. So through obedience to those commandments and to God's Word, our walk will model that closer of that of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not going to read each commandment in full. I'm just going to give a condensed version of each one. Commandment number one, I am the Lord your God. You will have no other gods before me. We took 2 weeks on this commandment. In our study, we had to define who is this God that demands that we have no other gods before him. Exactly, what God is it that we are talking about? And the answer to this, it is the God of the Bible, not a God of our imagination. And he's not a God that we want him to be. He is who he is as he has revealed himself in these 66 books of the Bible. God desires to be worshiped. God is worthy of worship. God will not share his worship with anyone or anything. He is the only true God, and there is no other. Commandment number two, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. We spent 1 week on commandment number two. This is idolatry. In our study, we concluded that this commandment identifies the competition for the praise and for the worship and for the glory of the true God. So here's our question this morning about the second commandment. Has our worship of the one true God been replaced by our worship of maybe statues or icons or graven images or pictures or relics or beads or some other inanimate object? And beyond that, there are other forms of idolatry. There's church denomination idolatry. There's church status and size idolatry. There's church leader idolatry, and there's church expectation idolatry. There are some church people who expect their church to provide for all of their self-fulfillment. Newsflash. Christianity is not about self-fulfillment. Christianity is about self-denial. We deny ourselves, we take up our cross, and we follow who? Jesus. Commandment number 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Spent 1 week on this commandment. The name of God, the name of Christ, the name of the Holy Spirit need to be said only when we speak with thoughtful sincerity and godly fear. We must be very careful when and how we say, "Oh my God." Let's be careful when we say that. Also in that study, we said that this commandment included making oaths and vows and swearing. But Jesus kind of concludes that very well in Matthew 5, and he says this, "Hey, just let your yes be a yes, and let your no be a no." Commandment number 4, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Spend 2 weeks on this commandment. And this is the only one of the 10 commandments that was not and is not repeated in the New Covenant in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, Hebrews 4, 9 through 11, and Romans 14, verses 5 and 6 tell us that the Sabbath was only a shadow of the things to come. And what was that thing to come? That thing to come was Jesus Christ. And he is now here. And he has now become our Sabbath. And he has now become our rest. And as a Christian, have you concluded about any particular day of the week? Because Romans 14 does say that if you have concluded something on your own between you and God, let that remain between you and God. Is there any special day that you need to keep holy? What are you convinced of doing and not doing on your Sabbath day? And whatever that is, then you need to stick by that and you need to do that. But none of us need not judge somebody else on whatever they have concluded and convinced themselves about their Sabbath. Commandment number 5, honor your father and your mother. We spent 4 weeks on this one. The word honor is the Greek word timeo, which means to give recognition to or to show proper respect to. And the key word in those definitions is respect. Biblically speaking, we show respect to our fathers and our mothers for 2 reasons. 1, for who that person is, they're our mother or our father. And 2, for the position that they hold as leaders in our families. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 repeated this commandment almost verbatim. And we said this, regardless of our age, regardless of who our parents may have been or who they are, this commandment is neither optional nor is it conditional. Commandment number 6, you shall not murder. We spent 6 weeks on this one. This commandment is not you shall not kill. It's you shall not murder. Because there is a difference between murdering and killing. In this study, we talked about the taking the life of another human being from a biblical perspective in the matters of capital punishment, war, and self-defense, while comparing that to Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7, because we are also to honor our governing officials and be obedient to their laws and the things that they have made up. However, when there's a conflict between what our governing officials have told us and what the Word of God has told us, we always obey the Word of God. This commandment also covers righteous anger, which is biblical, which is condoned, versus personal anger, which is not condoned and which is forbidden by the Word of God. Commandment number 7, you shall not commit adultery. We spent 3 weeks on this one. In this study, I defined adultery versus fornication and shared many statistics of how these sins, these sexual sins, can ruin marriages, can ruin families, and can ruin lives. We talked about the premise, the purity, and the procreation aspects of a true biblical marriage. We also covered the sins of sexual lust and pornography that are all under this umbrella of this 7th commandment. But we concluded that commandment by saying this: how do we overcome? And the road to overcoming these sins was to run from our youthful lust, to run to righteousness, and we run with Christian friends who are encouraging and hold us accountable. Commandment number 8, you shall not steal. 3 weeks on this commandment. In the study, I shared multiple reasons why people steal and also why they know it is wrong. People steal out of depression. They steal to get an emotional high. They might be kleptomaniacs, out of peer pressure, out of poverty or lack of funds, out of reciprocation, or out of envy. People steal from retail stores, from other people's homes, from the workplace, and they steal from the church. People steal words, they steal music, they steal ideas, they steal identities, they steal other people's spouses, and they steal time. But the worst kind of stealing, we talked about this the first week, is when pastors and preachers steal the opportunity for people to hear the truth of the Word of God. Those wolves serve one purpose. They have come only to steal, to kill, and destroy. And they do it all in the name of God and in the name of Jesus. Commandment number 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. 3 weeks on this study. We covered the occasional liars, to the white liars, to the careless liars, to the compulsive liars, all the way up to the sociopathic liars. None of those liars, regardless of what category this person might fall into, none are pleasing to God. When people lie, and I think this was the biggest point of this whole topic of lying, when people lie, there's a very, very good chance that trust has been broken between the individuals or the groups. The news media has told us lies. Politicians have lied. And quite often, our spouses, our families, and our friends have lied to us. And on the other side of that coin, possibly we have lied back to them too. And that's a lot of broken trust. And a lot of broken trust sometimes is very difficult to recover. And we must always be on the lookout for Satan. He's always ready to deceive each and every one of us, even Christians, into believing something that is right, making us look like it's wrong, or something that is wrong to make it look like it is right. Because after all, back in the garden, he told Eve, "Did God really say?" He's trying to whisper that into each and every one of our ears still today. And then the final one, commandment number 10, you shall not covet. Spent 3 weeks on that word, that commandment. In other words, I want what you have. And this commandment is different than the other 9 because coveting is not an outward act. It's solely an inward act. It is a sin that has its corruption solely within our minds and within our hearts. When you covet, what length will that person go to get that thing that they really want? Will it drive that person to anger, to lying, to cheating, to stealing, to idolatry, or some other sin? Can coveting make a person lazy and not want to work for their money that they truly want? And if any person should ever say, "I really want what you have," who or what is going to stop that person? What can or will that whole situation turn into? What can coveting turn you into? Turn me into? Coveting may appear harmless on the inside, but it has the potential of manifesting itself as a very dangerous and ugly and sometimes deadly outward act. So there you have it. We've gone through the Ten Commandments. We had an introduction for 5 weeks. We spent the next 28 weeks talking about 10 different commandments. And that's a quick refresher right there of what we've covered in the series. And yes, we've covered a whole lot more, I know that. But as always, if you're interested in learning more about any of these commandments that we might have covered here, all these messages are always up on the Beech Grove website, so you can listen to them or download them at your convenience. So I wanted to let you know that too. So I was thinking, well, what is the best way to conclude this series? Well, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, Jesus was asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" And beginning in verse 37, Jesus says this, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." You know, after I read that, I said to myself, wow, we just spent the last 33 weeks studying the Ten Commandments in depth. And if Jesus says that all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, perhaps I could have kept this whole sermon series a little bit shorter and just said this, love God and love your neighbor. And that would have been it. But I guess it just takes a long time sometimes to explain exactly how we need to do that. Love God, love your neighbor. And when we truly do that, the Ten Commandments become very easy to follow. Let's pray.